reading to you from the first chapter of Romans and with the 16th verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moen. As you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 49 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And I've been sharing Christ ever since. I'd like to have you remember these dates. May the 29th, the New Grace Quartet, my wife and I will be at Fort Lyons Prison. May the 30th, the next day, we'll be at Olney Springs Prison. And the 29th of June, we'll be at the two services, Jefferson County. Please pray for those dates. They're very important. And friends, if you have any Christianity in you, you'll know that these prisons have a great need. And there's not too many people in this world who will go to prisons. I've heard men say, well, you're wasting your time. Well, I don't know. If you see about 800 or 900 a year, men and women come to Christ, I don't think that's a waste. Be with you for 29 minutes. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, friends, tonight I want to label this, what is your excuse? Have you ever asked a person, hey, man, what's your excuse? There is not a person listening to this broadcast tonight who has not made excuses for our mistakes or our sins. Some excuses we use are legitimate and others are not. Tonight I want to speak on excuses that God will not excuse. Now, friends, these mistakes will not be forgiven until we have confessed them to the Lord. Someone has once said, the road to hell is paved with men's flimsy excuses. First of all, let's deal with that man who calls himself an atheist. What does he say? He says, there is no God. And there's probably not a lot, but there's a few listening to the broadcast tonight that might fall in that category. In Psalms 14:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. It has been well said that there were no atheists in the foxholes. Back in 1944 or 45, we hauled the 3rd Marines aboard our ship to the invasion of Okinawa. And they were not atheists. You know, dear friends, 75% of those young Marines that we hauled to Okinawa that day were killed. What a tragedy. And then there's people who don't respect the flag. Oh, I'm telling you, friends, that flag, you don't know the price that was paid for that American flag and for our great country. My late brother-in-law was a physician surgeon. He used to tell me that they'd bring a man or a woman in for surgery, even a minor surgery. They would take the person to the recovery room. Their blood pressure was normal. The respiratory system was okay. And suddenly, that person would die without warning. He said, why? Well, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and the judgment thereafter.
we have so many days that God is going to give us to live on this earth. And when that time is up, it's over. That's why the Bible warns us, prepare to meet thy God. One day when I was pastoring a church in Corbett, Oregon, I received a phone call from a lady who was looking for this particular church. I told her, ma'am, that church is a cult. They don't even believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, I don't care what they teach. So I proceeded to tell her about Jesus, but she was not one bit interested. The next day, she went up on the porch on the second floor, and she went out on the thing to shake the rugs over the balcony. As she leaned over shaking the rugs, the railing broke. She fell about 12 feet and landed on a picket fence, and one of those pickets went through her and killed her. What kind of an excuse will she offer unto the Lord? And that she should be able to go into heaven. She was told in love about the wonderful Christ, but she wasn't interested. Friends, you might think, because I'm a preacher of a certain denomination, that I go out and try to get people to join my denomination or something. I don't do that. Friends, I try to introduce people to Jesus Christ. Whether you're a Catholic, a Mormon, or whatever you are, I try to tell you about Jesus Christ. Because your church or my church cannot get you into heaven. Only Jesus can get you into heaven. When I was a director of the rescue mission in Grand Forks, North Dakota, there was a man named Charlie Harrison. He was lazy. He didn't want to work, but I liked him, and I told him daily about God's love. One day, he came into the mission with a new sport coat, new shoes, and I said, Charlie, did you get a job? And he said, yep. I asked him, what do you do? He replied, it's a secret. You know what the secret was? Charlie was selling dope to our high school kids. I warned him that something terrible was going to happen in his life if he didn't quit it. One evening he came into the mission higher than a Georgia cook stove. I sat down with him in my office and I said, Charlie, if you'll give me the names of the big boys who are supplying you with these drugs, I will buy you a one-way ticket to any place in the United States and give you $100 so you can get started. And he said, if I do that, they'll kill me and they'll kill you also. One Saturday night I was preaching at the chapel and all of a sudden Charlie came up to the front door. You could see him on the outside. And he acted like he was going to come in. Then he turned and walked down the street. And pretty soon he appeared at the front door. This time I motioned for him to come in. He just shook his head and walked away. The next morning, the police department called me and said they had found Charles killed. The supplier had murdered him. Why? Because Charlie was talking too much. The funeral home shipped his dead body back to Mississippi. No autopsy. The killers were never apprehended. But I wonder what Charlie told the Lord when he stood before him. Yes, Charlie was without excuse. The atheists say science has the only true answer. 1 Timothy 6:20. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babbling and oppositions of science falsely so called. Friend, over the years I've locked horns with so many called atheists. There's one thing they cannot say: I have been saved by the precious blood of Jesus. Friends, it is a sad thing to be an atheist. You say, well, I would like to believe. Well, then you tell the Lord you'd like to believe. You tell the Lord you want to go to heaven and ask him what you have to do. The agnostic says no one can know whether the Bible is true. And I read in Psalms 1 18:89, "Forever, Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Now read the Bible and then read the newspaper or watch the news on TV. Many of our leading news analysts are reading more and more out of God's holy word. Why? Because they are seeing prophecy unfolded under their noses. The second coming of the Lord may be sooner than people expect. Some Christians are living like they don't believe he's coming back. But friends, he shall come as a thief in the night. What did the prophet say? Prepare to meet thy God. God is not changed, and his concern for your lost condition is still the same. Now, let's look at the agnostic. He says, no one knows whether there is a heaven or not. Well, Matthew 10:32-33, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." Look at the rich man and Lazarus the beggar. The rich man shook the crumbs off his tablecloth, and poor Lazarus sat there in the ground and ate them. The dogs licked the beggar's sore. But when they died, the rich man went to hell and Lazarus went to heaven. Now we see the rich man begging Lazarus to come touch his lips with cool water because he was in torments in these flames. Friends, I'm afraid you'd be shocked at the millions of people who are depending on their church to get them into heaven. Oh, friends, the church can't get you into heaven. Jesus said, ye must be born again. Now here's the excuse of the ignorant. The Christian life is too hard. Proverbs 13:15. Good understandeth, giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. Hey, listen, I know the Christian life is not easy. I know that. But being an alcoholic was no bed of roses either. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Think about that, dear friends. What if you had the whole world? What if you were as rich as the richest man in the world? When you die, you have to leave it here. You can't take it with you, and it can't get you into heaven. I don't care if you gave it all to the church. Well, I'm sure if you gave it all to church, you probably would have a change of heart. I just can't give up my sin, Cecil. Well, Galatians 6:7-8, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Listen, people go out. Listen to me now. People go out and sow wild oats and then go to church and pray for a crop failure. Did you ever hear about that? Now, here's the excuse of the procrastinator. I will seek the Lord some other time. King Agrippa, you know, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, but he never came to Christ. In Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day bringeth forth. Friends, this is why I preach with concern. We don't know if we'll be alive tomorrow or not. Did you know 500 to 600 people are killed by lightning in America every year? A man I had introduced to Christ came to my house one day and told me his sister was dying of cancer, and she was not a Christian. She was a good church member, but she wasn't a Christian, wasn't born again. I drove to Walla Walla, Washington, and went to the church with her, and her brother went with us. And after church, we went to her house, And there I shared Christ with her and her teenage daughter. I shared my own personal testimony, and I shared with her from the Word of God. She knew that 2 days from now, she might well be dead, as she was going into surgery the next 2 days. I asked her, "Darlene, are you ready to invite Christ into your heart?" And she answered, "I am." Her brother, her, and her daughter, and I knelt. And there I led Darlene in the sinner's prayer, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." As I got ready to go back to Portland, she came over and hugged my neck and said, "Cecil, thank you so much for coming to Walla Walla to tell me about Jesus. And Cecil, if I don't see you again on earth, I'll meet you in heaven." 2 days later, on the operating table, Darlene went on to be with the Lord. Oh, Darlene knew that procrastination was a dangerous thing. Friends, we can't boast of tomorrow, can we? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I'll tell you one thing. We can know whether we're saved. We know whether we're going to go to heaven or not. That has to happen on this side of eternity, not after you die. I know there's a religion that says you can know after you die. That's not going to happen. Read your Bible. It's appointed that a man wants to die and the judgment thereafter. I mean, that when you're saved, the Bible said that your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. And that's where it's going to be after the rapture when we get to heaven. When he raptures his church, that don't mean Catholic, that don't mean Baptist, that don't mean Pentecostal. That means those who have been born again. Now here's a list of excuses the unconverted use. "I don't need a Savior." Well, let's see what the Bible says. In John 3:18, "He that believeth not is condemned already." John 3:36, "He that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth on him." Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." During World War II, I was in the United States Navy, and I spent 4 years with them. I want you to know I hated the Japanese. I tell you, I saw the devastation, what they did in Pearl Harbor, what they did in Guadalcanal and other parts of the world, the Philippines. I thought someday I'd like to go back to Japan and tell them I had forgiven them. My wife and myself and several other preachers and their wives, we flew to Japan to preach in various churches in Sapporo. That's back in 1978. I told the Japanese that I personally had forgiven them, and now I want to tell you why I have forgiven you. Because Jesus has forgiven me and placed his love in my heart for you. That is why I'm here today, to share this love with you. God wants to give you a second chance. Here's a reason I cannot leave my old companions. Well, friends, listen. I tell those men in prison, when you get out of prison, you best not go down back with your old friends. Because if you do, you'll be back. And 85% of all men who leave prison, if they're not saved, end up back there in prison. Would you believe that? 85%. Now, that's why we tell them about Jesus. Exodus 23:2, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." Proverbs 11:20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." And 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt." The excuses I gave before I was saved, I can't live without my booze. What a tragedy. But thank God I found a preacher that knew there was a Jesus and knew that there was a possibility. If I'd repent, I could have new life. I used to go down in Skid Row in Portland and drink with the winos. You know the excuse I gave to my wife? I felt sorry for people who were down and out, and that is still true today. Only I don't drink with them. I tell them about Jesus. I remembered all the beatings my stepmother gave me. I remember the times I'd go to bed and cry most of the night. I hated her and she hated me. But friends, I want you to know, after I received Christ, I began to forgive her. She's dead now, but I still forgave her. And friends, listen, I did everything I could to try to introduce her to Christ before she died. She was very sick. She had a bad heart. And I went up to my 55th class reunion. And on the way up the Columbia River, I was driving along, happy that I was going to get to see my classmates. And it was just like the Lord spoke to my heart, are you going to go see your stepmother? I had not planned on it, but I did. And I sat there in her living room and I tried to tell her how much God loved her. She said, well, you're different, Cecil. Yes, I'm different, not because I changed myself, but because Jesus came into my heart and changed me, just like he would do for you tonight. Some of you have an unforgiving spirit. Well, here's what I suggest you do. You confess it to Jesus and tell him you're sorry, and he'll give you peace that I cannot explain. Okay, folks, what is your excuse for not trusting Jesus? What is it? Are you waiting for a feeling? Are you waiting for something to happen? Well, it will happen, all right. I love that song that Gaither wrote, something good is about to happen. And if you're unsaved tonight, or you might be a lost church member, good person, I'm not putting you down. You're just a lost. You've never accepted Jesus. Now, something good could happen tonight in your heart and life. Now, here's what it is. What you need to do is tell the Lord that you're a sinner. Now, there's only two kinds of sinners, friends. There's a lost sinner and a saved sinner. Now, if you're lost tonight, the Holy Spirit of God has already revealed it to your heart. In fact, you feel a strange tugging in your heart, a real strange tugging in your heart, and you don't even know what it is. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's God's Holy Spirit drawing at your heart, saying, child, come to me. I know you're troubled. I know your heart broke. I know you lost your wife. I know you lost your husband. I know your children are living in sin and are in drugs, and some of them are in prison. I know all that. But I'm concerned about you tonight, the Lord's going to say. Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you peace, or I'll give you rest. Now, when you lay down at night, if you're not saved, you don't know whether you're going to wake up. You don't know whether you're going to wake up. Many people have died in bed in their sleep. But friends, I'm here to say that there's no excuse that God's going to accept. Now, are you willing to turn your back on your old way of life? Are you willing to say, Jesus, I want you in my heart? If so, bow your head with me right now and pray this simple prayer. Beloved, don't pray this unless you mean it. Dear Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me for all my terrible sins. Lord, help me to live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. Please call. Let me talk to you. I won't beat you over the head. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I won't embarrass you, use your name on air. And I do not care where you go to church. I'm concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534.
You might say, well, how do you do that, Cecil? Well, listen, I make my tapes on my studio. I take them to the broadcast station, and then I come by and stay by my phone so you can call me. Listen, I have something that might be of interest to some of you. I know a company down in California that sells phone cards. Well, they gave me 5,000 minutes for $15. 5,000 minutes of long-distance call for $15. If you'd like one of them, just sit down and write a check of money order and send it to 9621 South Burberry Lane, Highlands Ranch 80129. Make it to Mauve Evangelistic Association. And I'd appreciate it. We also have a book, Go Mo Go. We have a book, Against All Hope. We have a movie, a film of our life, and it's available. So if you'd like those, and if you have an alcoholic in your family, you honestly really should get these, because it will, and also an unshackled tape. It'll help you if you want to win your lost alcoholic family. Oh, friends, I've seen thousands of people, I've heard of thousands of people over the years who have trusted Christ by listening to this movie or reading these books. Okay. Well, friends, for the past 28 minutes, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Mauve. Thank you so much for listening. Oh, I pray I said something might have helped you. I'm not in the entertainment business. What I try to do is reach people for Christ. Now, I ask people to help us with our prison ministries if they can, because that's what we go to prison with. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to go. And we spend thousands of miles every year going to prisons. Well, pray for us, and a lot of people can't give, but you can pray. That's awfully important, believe me. So this time next Friday night or Saturday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.